House will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Here.
Berger. Berger. Blake.
Here.
Blickrey.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Botten.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Edmonds. Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel. Esquivel, Esquivel excused. Freeman,
here.
Gay,
here.
Gingery,
here.
Goggles,
here.
Greer,
here.
Green,
here.
Harshman, Harshman, Harvey,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Illaway,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Kasparic,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Lubno,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
McComey,
here.
Miller,
Moniz, here.
Nicholas,
here.
Patton,
here.
Peasley,
here.
Pedersen, Pedersen, Peterson,
here.
Petroff,
here.
Korberg,
here.
Roscoe,
here.
Simlick,
here.
Shepperson,
here.
Stewart, Stewart, Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Throne,
here.
Ronish,
here.
Wallace, Wallace, Wallace excused. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Berger.
Excuse.
Berger excused. Harshman.
Excuse.
Harshman excused. Pedersen.
Excuse.
Pedersen excused. Stewart.
Excuse.
Stewart excused. 54 present, 6 excused.
Please stand and join us in the morning prayer.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, bless your servants who are gathered here this morning, ready to work for the good of our state. Called by your voice and the vote of the people of Wyoming, make them attentive to your wisdom and your counsel. Whatever the diverse needs be, help them to respond with the best of their abilities and resources. May they accomplish deeds of justice and good order for all of our people. We commend ourselves, our great state, and all of our efforts to you, the shepherd and guardian of our souls, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
They're at that order of business, Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 14th has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Freeman, Representative Kasparik.
And ladies and gentlemen, we have some special guests with us today. We have Doctor of the Day, Amy Trelease Bell from here in Cheyenne. And then I didn't know if anyone wanted to introduce the Nurse of the Day or Nurses of the Day. If not, I will go ahead. Heidi Laux from Casper College and Diane Odell, who's a nursing student from Casper College. So please welcome them. Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I just wanted to introduce some good friends of mine from Dubois. The Pattersons came down from Dubois, and I'd ask you to welcome to the House.
Welcome to the House. We are at that order of business, bills on third reading and final passage, consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 116 is off the consent list. There are two amendments. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move a consent list consisting of the following bills: Senate File 63, 92, 99, 117, 128, 135, and 137.
Would anyone like to remove any of those bills off of the consent list? The reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate File 63, introduced by Senator Case, an act relating to game and fish donation of hunting licenses, being an act by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 92, introduced by Senator Bebout, an act relating to natural gas storage, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 99, introduced by Senator Martin, an act relating to sales and use tax on certain food items, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 117, introduced by Senator Bebout, an act relating to the Wyoming Reclamation and Restoration Center, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 128, introduced by Senator Hines, an act relating to abandoned vehicle storage expenses, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 135, introduced by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to public funds regarding the University of Wyoming federal mineral royalties, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 137, introduced by Senator Perkins, an act relating to operation of motor vehicles regarding ignition interlock devices, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger, excused. Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund, Esquivel, excused, Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone, Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen, excused, Peterson,
aye.
Pedersen, excuse me, Pedersen and I, Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Cheaters,
aye.
Throne, Throne?
Aye.
Vronish?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan?
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave?
Aye.
Mr. Speaker?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Berger?
Aye.
Berger? Aye. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes. As to Senate File 63, are there any changes? Gay? Aye to no. Korberg? Aye to no. Berger? Aye to no. Miller? Aye to no. Vronish? Aye to no. Greer? Aye to no. Lubnow? Aye to no. Botten? Aye to no. Peasley? Aye to no. Wallace? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 ayes, 9 noes. As to Senate File 92, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Swanitzer Dan? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 no. As to Senate File 99, are there any changes? Gay? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 no. As to Senate File 117, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to Senate File 128, are there any changes? Croker? Aye to no. Edmonds? Aye to no. Semlek? Aye to no. Gay? Aye to no. Pedersen? Aye to no. Teeters? Aye to no. Korberg? Aye to no. Burkhart? Aye to no. Miller? Aye to no. Shepperson? Aye to no. Brechtel? Aye to no. Laux, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Stewart, aye to no. Eklund, aye to no. Moniz, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Vronish, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Speaker? Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 39 ayes, 21 noes. As to Senate File 135, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 ayes. As to Senate File 137, are there any changes? Brechtel, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Shepperson, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Esquivel, aye to no. Korberg, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Pedersen, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Semlek, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Wallace, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 43 ayes, 17 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, Senate Files 63, 92, 99, 117, 128, 135, and 137 have passed the House. We're at that order of business, bills on third reading and final passage, regular list. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 116.
Senate File 116, introduced by Senator Jennings, an act relating to oil and gas enhanced recovery microbial conversion, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 116 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, I actually do feel woefully inadequate to really comment in any way, shape, or form on this new industry, this new technology that we're moving into. Of course, I believe all of the reports that wherever we're going to start doing this, injecting these bugs, I'm sure that we will see a rainbow, and it will be ending up right where we start injecting these bugs into the ground, that pot of gold, so to speak. And by no means, no way, shape, or form is my amendment trying to derail this effort from going forward. I'm sure that we will hopefully see some great measurable benefits to our state. What I'm trying to accomplish, ladies and gentlemen, is to ensure that when our Oil and Gas Commission goes through rulemaking to set guidelines, parameters, as this industry moves forward, that they will consider the things that are listed within this amendment. Clearly, what this we're trying to address is none other than just good protection, looking after our groundwater resources. Now, again, taking a look back, when we look at the model legislation for carbon capture and sequestration, we did outline some things like this to where we wanted rulemaking to take a look at certain items so that as these things move forward, we have opportunity, public comment, for instance, so the public and other special interest groups can participate in that process. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I would take some questions and good comments, I can see. Thank you.
Representative Stubson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against third reading amendment number 1, and I've had good conversations with the sponsor of this amendment. There are a couple of reasons why I think this amendment does not quite – it actually may undermine the strength of the bill as it currently stands. In a general sense, when we spell out in statute the things that rules and regulations must cover, you create a strong argument and maybe a presumption by the agencies that that's what all that their regulation may cover. And in this context, there are a host of other things that we want the regulating agencies to be thinking about when they're doing their rules and regulations. And one example I bring up is one which is well within the expertise of the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, and that's talking about waste and making sure that the resources that are produced efficiently. And this, for example, the detailed list that's presented in Amendment Number 1 doesn't contain any reference to that. And so are we saying that we don't want the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission to consider that when they're looking at this sort of gas production, even though they look at it in all other forms of gas production? It creates a confusion that I don't think we should have in the bill. The other way I think it undermines the strong protections that we have in the bill is if you look with me on page 3 of the bill, B, Romanet I, and this is sort of the key language in the bill, is that we say on line 5 that this development will only occur if they can show, quote, that the proposed formation intervals will not be adversely influenced by the injections, meaning you have to show that the groundwater won't be impacted, won't be adversely influenced at all by this development. If you can't show that, you don't get to do what these companies want to do. And yet in the amendment, if you look at E little I, you talk about mitigation of impacts. And what that seems to assume is that you can have impacts, only then you have to fix them afterwards. And so you have two inconsistent standards built between the amendment and the statute as it currently stands, which I think is again, a decision we don't want to make. Going through just real quickly some of the other items that are included in the amendment, it talks about financial assurances and bonding. Currently, the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission regs have, if you look in section five, it has detailed listing of what financial assurances they require for every well that they permit. And it has a detailed listing of whether that can be bonding, whether you can do cash sureties, whether you can do CDs. I mean, this is an area that is heavily, these rules are promulgated right now. And so, again, we don't need to include that within this bill. I would just urge you to resist the amendment. This is a well-thought-out bill that ensures protection of our groundwater, ensures responsible development, and ask you to vote no on Amendment 1.
Chairman Corbett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment, I'm not going to belabor a lot of what my good colleague just said, but, you know, page 3, if you look at page 3, that whole page says things like shall, that an applicant shall comply. It doesn't leave any room for doubt that the applicant has to comply with, and subsection A says that the commission's going to adopt rules implementing this section, and they're going to do it in consultation with the director of DEQ. So there's just lots and lots of good, solid language on page 3 that ensures that this Class 2 well permit will not be that the groundwater will not be degraded if you go to lines 18, and will be in compliance with the Federal Safe Drinking Act, and that the injection zone, the underground ambient water quality as defined by DEQ, will not be violated. It's all shall. So there's a lot of good solid language in this bill and on page 3. And so I encourage you all to go back through, read that section. This bill is very well written, and I would encourage the body to defeat this amendment.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment and for the bill. Folks, this might be the most important bill this session for future revenue here in Wyoming. Wyoming's sitting here on 1.5 trillion tons of coal. You know, we're not going to get probably 95% of that coal out of the ground. This bill may allow these little microbes to get some of that coal out of the ground for us, and we can get more tax revenue from the natural gas that's produced from that. So on and for the bill, against the amendment, and just don't hamstring this bill with this amendment.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Early on, there was some lobbying and some patent applications that were circulated, and when I saw those and saw a list of methyl ethyl bad stuff listed in the patent application, I went and demanded a meeting with the president of the company. I met with the president of the company and the chemical engineer senator from the other end. I've been sworn to confidentiality because they don't want their trade secrets out, but they did disclose them to me. And they will have to disclose them to the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission under the existing rules. The chemical engineer laughed when he heard the chemicals they were using and said, "I've had that stuff in my mouth and I drink it in the concentrations that they're using. It's absolutely harmless." And I've come to trust his judgment. When you look at these regulations, ask yourself who is in the best position to regulate and govern the drilling of holes underground. Is it the Department of Environmental Quality or the Oil and Gas Commission, who's responsible for ensuring the integrity of holes and the integrity of aquifers and stopping of cross-aquifer pollution under our existing rules? All of the things that are in this amendment, they already do under their rules. It's not in the statute. So when you look at the amendment, the question is, what do we gain that we don't already have? And I would submit to you, brothers and sisters of the 61st, if you look at the regulations as they exist and the performance of our Oil and Gas Commission since the mid-50s when we implemented them, they've done a marvelous job of protecting our groundwaters from cross-aquifer pollution, excursions, and all of the things listed here, and that we don't gain anything that we don't already have by this amendment.
Your first time, Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to speak against this amendment. There has been an extensive oversight and scrutiny of these projects that have been going on. There's about 450 or 430 of them that have been done. And of the 430, there's no evidence of contamination of groundwater, surface water, no diseases connected to anything. In fact, I've heard the guys said they'd even drink the water coming out of there. It might be getting a little far, but I just don't think we need this amendment. I think there's plenty of scrutiny and oversight already in there. I think the technology and the idea of this industry coming up is just a boon to Wyoming. So I don't think we need to hamstring it. Let's resist this amendment and vote for the bill. Thank you.
Chairman, or who was up for? Representative Connolly, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of the amendment. Folks, I see what this amendment does. It simply does give us oversight that we shouldn't be afraid of at all. When I look at page 3 of the bill and with the amendment, I do see something different. Page 3 has on it that we will be assured that there will not be any adverse influences based on the injections. But page 1 says that page 1 of the amendment says that we're going to look at the mitigation of impacts. Those are two different things. Everyone knows that the microbes will have some impact. Let's take a look at it and not be afraid of it. Romanet 2 says that we're going to make sure that we've protected groundwater resources for domestic and livestock purposes. I think these are all good. This sounds like a great new technology, but let's do our legislative due diligence. Let's have some oversight. So on and in favor of the amendment.
Chairman Childers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, against the amendment and for the bill. Ladies and gentlemen, currently we have four classes for injection wells or disposal well or whatever you want to call it. Class 1, administered by the DEQ, toxic waste disposal. Class 2 by the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, which is for secondary recovery, water flooding, or saltwater disposal, or enhanced gas recovery. Class 3 under the DEQ, and that's for in situ mining. And then there's a Class 5 administered by the DEQ, sort of a catch-all. That, in my impression, most of the time it's used temporarily. But all of these various classes are set up under the direction of the EPA. And I hope people realize that. If the DEQ or the Oil and Gas Commission does not or is not satisfied with whatever rules and regulations, as well as statutes that come down on this, if they aren't satisfied with it, there's a possibility we could lose our primacy over that. With the exception of the Clean Water Act, or excuse me, the Drinking Water Act, the state of Wyoming, through the DEQ and the Oil and Gas Commission, administers most of these programs under wells. This amendment could jeopardize that some, but more so, I think we need to leave this up to the DEQ and the Oil and Gas Commission to develop the rules and regulations for this new type program, and I urge you to defeat the amendment and pass the bill.
Anyone else for their first time, second time prior to the sponsor, Representative Stewart?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a slight rebuttal, Mr. Speaker. Of course, in my mind, this amendment provides some clarity, some necessary clarity, and I don't think it really provides any confusion at all. When you really look at this amendment, the language does not require, for instance, when we look at first little I, this amendment does not require the mitigation of impacts to the fluid resource. It does not require monitoring wells. Of course, I would love to see some monitoring wells as we advance this wonderful process that's this pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, as I spoke about. Does not require any of these things. What it requires, Mr. Speaker, is that we address these things through rulemaking. Quite possibly, ladies and gentlemen, through rulemaking, we will address the wonderful statements made by all the people speaking against this, that we will recognize perhaps we don't need to do these things. But what this bill does is address these concerns, and it allows more steps in this process for more clarity and public participation, so we get some comfort as we embark on this new world. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 116, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 116 has failed. Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the adoption of third reading amendment number 2 to Senate file 116, and I would ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, if you look at the existing bill on page 3, capital A, the rulemaking function is sort of combined in the permitting function, and it's not clear that the commission has to consult with the director of DEQ in order to promulgate the rules. So the purpose of this amendment is to create a new subsection E to clarify that the commission and the DEQ director consult on the promulgation of rules. I mean, essentially, there was just too much stuff in that big paragraph A, and it was a little confusing. So this was a cleanup amendment brought to my attention by the good staff. And I think it also, in relationship to the earlier amendment, it clarifies, in my mind anyway, that this language that groundwater cannot be adversely influenced must be considered in the rulemaking. So I think it just makes the bill tighter and cleaner, and I hope you will consider supporting it, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I consider this a friendly amendment, and I urge your support of it and support of the bill.
First time, second time, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 116, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 116 has been adopted, and Senate File 116 having been read 3 separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger. Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell. Kennedy,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Connolly, Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
no.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman, Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone, Lockhart, Laux, Lubnow, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Patterson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunisch.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker. Harshman.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 noes.
Senate File 116, having received the affirmative vote of those members, majority of members elected to the House, Senate File 116 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 2.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 2, introduced by Senator Nutting. A joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution regarding health care freedom being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem and Representative Throne. Oh, Representative, I'm sorry. Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move the third reading amendment, number one, to Senate Joint Resolution number two, and I ask the body for its favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, after a little bit of time yesterday, we had an amendment that came in on page 2 and deleted some language, line 9 through 12. Wasn't a lot of debate, and I apologize to the body for not taking the time or not being able to get to the amendment ahead of time to really think about it. But after I saw the action we had taken, decided to bring this amendment so we could think about it just one more time. The argument that was made very briefly when we took this language out was simply that we have case law. And what I began to think about was we may certainly have case law, but I don't think this body or the body down the hall wants to give up our legitimate right to make law and simply give that over to what a judge may do later on down the line. And when you read what we took out of the bill, we took out the words, well, I'll read the whole section. Each competent adult shall have the right to make his or her own health care decisions. And then we took out the parent, guardian, or legal representative of any other natural person shall have the right to make health care decisions for that person. So what are we saying? If we take that out, what we're saying is each adult can make the decision, but they can't make the decision for their child. I don't think that's what we want to say. I don't think that's what the voters, I think the voters are going to want to vote. The voters who are our parents in our communities, they want to make this choice for their children. Of course they do. They should have that right. That is their right. I don't think we want to take that out. And so after thinking about it, I brought the amendment, and I hope that you will support this amendment, put that language back in. This bill has been thoroughly vetted in both chambers. It was kind of an 11th-hour decision we made, and I don't think it was our best moment of work, and so I want to submit it back to us to take a look at it one more time and ask you to push back and to put this language back in, take it to the people of Wyoming, and let them vote. Because if you ask them the choice between having this sentence in or not having this sentence in, when they go to check the ballot, they want to vote on whether or not they, as a parent, have a right to make a choice for their children. Of course they do. I will stand for questions.
Representative Throne, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Again, I don't believe that the sentence we removed yesterday has anything to do with the purpose of the bill. What I am concerned about is that those in a position of guardianship, whether it be over seniors, whether it be over disabled adults, or whether it be over children, are suddenly getting rights that they do not have now under existing law to neglect their responsibilities to their children, the seniors that may be under a guardianship or a conservatorship. And I don't think that it's necessary to put that language in to accomplish the purpose of this constitutional amendment. As the folks who have responsibilities for children, there are a lot of, and not just case law, but statutes that prohibit parents from withholding medical care from their children. And my fear, and because no good legal analysis to my knowledge has been done on this point, my fear is that if we pass this, then we are suddenly calling into question the law that is on the books, whether it's in case law or statute, to protect children, to protect disabled people. Because there are folks out there who abuse their rights when it comes to taking care of the disabled or seniors that are under their care. There are those folks out there, and we have laws in place now that prevent them from doing that. And I fear if we put something in the Constitution that says, shall have the right, and it's a constitutional right, that we may not be able to protect those vulnerable folks. And that's not what this bill is about. This bill is about guaranteeing rights to make your own health care decisions. And it's fine when we're talking about competent adults, but when we're talking about people who have responsibilities for others, we need to know that they are going to exercise that responsibility appropriately. That happens under current law. And I think this sentence is unnecessary and could really harm the most vulnerable in our society. At least we don't know for sure. And frankly, I don't think we should put something on the ballot, because I doubt that our voters are going to run out and get a constitutional law opinion on the subject. We need to be careful what goes into our Constitution. Thank you.
Chairman Harvey, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. You know, if all parents were good parents, I look around this room and I see some really good parents, and I think that the original wording in the bill is good. But then I think about the kids that we have worked hard to protect in this state. I think about the drug endangered children law that we passed. I think about some of the children that we as a state removed from their homes because they are neglected or because they are not being taken care of, because their parents are not making appropriate decisions for their health care or other things. And I think that the first sentence about individuals having the right to make their decisions, I think that that is good. I think it is perfect. And I certainly want the opportunity to make those choices myself. But my question is, and I'm not an attorney, I can't give you a legal opinion on that. But my question is, what about the parents who don't make good decisions for their children? What about the parents who don't take care of their responsibilities as parents? That's just the question, that's the doubt that comes to my mind, that when I think parents, that if we just give them blanket, parents have the right to make medical decisions for their children. Are there cases, are there individual kids that we are stopping the protection of by this wording? So I'm on and against the amendment.
Mr. Speaker, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, on and for the amendment. I think, you know, to kind of clarify this, and I understand the concerns of the good representative from House District 11 and the good chairman as well. You know, I look at this as really a reaffirmation of a right that already exists. Certainly, I don't think anyone would disagree with me if I told you that you currently have the right to make health care decisions for your children, or if you're a guardian or you're a legal representative, you have those rights to make those health care decisions. Nothing, notwithstanding that right, the court has the ability, certainly if you're a guardian of an individual and someone says that you're doing something wrong with regard to your health care decisions of that individual, the court can strip you of that power and name another guardian or legal representative. And with regard to the parent-child relationship and the concerns that the good chairman had, you know, you look under Title 14 in our neglect statutes, though you have the right as a parent to make all these decisions for your children, you're not immune from our neglect statutes, which read in part, if you fail or refuse, if you're responsible for child welfare and you fail or refuse to provide adequate care, maintenance, supervision, even education, or medical, surgical, or any other care necessary for the child's well-being, a petition can be filed against you for neglect of your child, despite the fact that even today you have the right to make those decisions for your children. SJ2 is simply a reaffirmation of that right and will not abrogate the law as it pertains to those situations where parents are neglecting their children or where caregivers, guardians, or legal representatives are not caring for their ward.
Chairman Korberg, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I am on and in favor of the amendment and then in support of this resolution. And I think if you look down under subsection C of this resolution, we have given ourselves adequate latitude in subsection C to continue to protect the health and general welfare of the people. So I believe that this is it's an important part of the resolution, in my opinion. I think it recognizes on the part of the legislative body that parents, guardians, and legal representatives, we have the right to make those decisions, and that there are times when the government should not be interfering. So I like leaving the language in, and I think subsection C has given us the continued latitude to do what's in the best interests of the health and general welfare of the people of the state. So I am on and in favor of this amendment and the resolution. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time, Representative Peasley.
Mr. Chairman, mostly just to speak so I can reserve a right later on. Any of you that ran on a platform of pushback on this national health care have got to sign on to something that has meaning. And thus far, I haven't seen anything coming out of this body that has got any substance to it. This is the only thing you got to hang on to. You got to push back and push back hard. Otherwise, we're going to walk out of here, those of you that stood on that, and not be able to point to anything that was meaningful that was done. And this thing, all we're trying to do, and with all the sincerity of a bird whistle, is whittle it down to the point where there's nothing left. Okay? Stand on it where it is. This is what got through the Senate. Let's take it back and let's see what happens with it. But you haven't got anything else of substance. This is it. Stick with it, on and for the amendment.
Chairman McComey, for your first time.
To reserve the right to speak a second time.
Duly noted. Anyone else for their first time? We are now on second time. Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Second time?
Behind the chicken over here, or the rooster, or whatever that is.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, and I think it's time for our good friends across the body to bring back our artwork, but never mind. I guess I would ask the bringer of the amendment, why do we need this language in the constitutional amendment for the purposes of pushing back on the federal government? I don't think this sentence is necessary in the constitutional amendment to accomplish the primary purpose. I'm not trying to gut the purpose of this. I'm trying to ensure that if it is enacted into our Constitution, which I think there's a strong chance it will be, that it does not cause harm. And let me give you a scenario. What if a parent is withholding insulin from a child due to religious reasons? I'm not sure that a Title 14 statute passed prior to the enactment of this Constitution, because the problem with the good speaker's arguments is that all those laws he talked about were passed prior to the enactment of this provision. So let's assume this gets into law in 2012 or 2013 or whenever it becomes effective. It says parents shall have the right. The right. Parenting is a fundamental right. It's already pretty prescribed how much we can interfere with parents' rights. C talks about public health, general welfare. That's a regulatory right of the government. That regulatory right does not trump the fundamental rights. And we, by putting this language in, we're saying that the parents have a fundamental right to make health care decisions for their children. So, have I spent the last 24 hours doing extensive constitutional research on this subject? No. But neither has anybody else. And until we know for sure that in those kinds of situations where a parent withholds treatment, and I'm talking basic stuff, insulin for diabetes, asthma medicine, until we know for sure, and I trust the good speaker's legal mind, I've worked with it for several years now, but I doubt that he's done the research either. If we defeat this amendment, leave the language in the proposed constitutional amendment, we have time to do the research. We have time to really think about the ramifications. Because when you put something in the Constitution that says, shall have the right, you are calling into question every statute that is already on the books that may limit that right. And I think before we do that, we better know what the heck we're up to. And I haven't seen any memo on it. And if somebody produces a memo that proves me wrong and the Senate wants to take this out, fine. But we are talking about stuff that goes in our Constitution, and any law that may be in conflict with that is suddenly in question. And that's the reason I brought the amendment. And if it's really important for the pushback on the federal government, then somebody needs to explain why before it goes into our Constitution. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Just briefly, 2 points regarding a legal memorandum on the constitutional analysis. Any of us would tell you, and I know I believe the good representative from House District 11 would agree, regardless of that, any good legal memorandum on a constitutional issue is going to pretty much come down and tell you that this could go either way. And every day, courts across this nation make constitutional interpretations. And depending on the court, they'll come down on one side and another court will come down on the other. You've already had that happen, or you've seen that happen with regard to the national health care legislation and the appeals going on with that. Second thing is that, as the good representative from House District 11 pointed out, we do have a right to parent. There is a fundamental right to parent under the Constitution now, and that has not prevented the appropriate state agencies and county attorneys from commencing a Title 14 action against any parent that neglects their children under the statute that I read you, despite the fact that, yes, I have a fundamental constitutional right to parent. This parses it out a little bit more, I will grant you that, and talks about the ability to make health care decisions. But if that's not subsumed in the overall right, fundamental right to parent, then I don't know what would be.
Representative Peasley, for your second time.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And I may have missed something. I usually do. In this discussion about whether or not we need to take that language out there to still allow the state to get involved with children and incompetence and stuff, I don't know why we don't just look down to paragraphs. And I think that's already been pointed out. And I need to reemphasize this because I've talked to some people during the discussion, but what we have done is simply recognize what I think was a fundamental right to begin with, and that is we have the right for ourselves and for those we represent to make health care decisions. If you're worried about it going too far, go down to subsection C. The legislature may determine reasonable and necessary restrictions on the rights granted under this section. So we do much like you do anything else constitutional. You have a constitutional right, but it's not without its limitations. And I did not like that paragraph C when this started. That was one of my objections to it. We give us a right, and then we restrict it. But if that's what you want, if you want the seesaw, you want the back and forth, you've still got it. I just don't see this as anything more than a heck no to somebody, and we're letting the people of this state say so. And if our body is incompetent to get together and figure out what else to do, let's at least let our people talk. And this allows them to speak boldly. And if you want to muffle it, then just tell them not to vote for it. Thank you.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, everyone, for the debate. You know, good legislation is like a beautiful, clear pond. You can see all the way to the bottom. It's perfect. We don't do that very often. Once in a while, we get something that just works. And that's what this is. This really, really works. It's been vetted. It's been moving through two bodies for weeks and weeks. And let's be really, really frank, and I'm going to be frank, with great respect to the opponent, opposition to my amendment. Oftentimes, a really good way to ruin a crystal clear pond is to muddy the water. And it's usually done at the 11th hour. That's the best time to thrash around and try to confuse people to rip up a beautiful piece of legislation. We're about to vote, and I think we know how that'll go. I ask you to not be compelled by the 11th hour thrashing around muddying of water. We have a beautiful piece of legislation. Let's put that language back in. And you've heard the arguments why, most assuredly, that parents certainly do have a right to make these decisions. And we have given, the legislature has given ourselves an out in Section C. We still have a right. You don't have the right to yell, scream fire in a crowded room, but you have the right of freedom of speech. So we're reasonable folks. This country is full of reasonable folks. I ask you to put the language back in. Let's go ahead and take this beautiful piece of legislation to the voters and let them choose. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution 2 has passed. Representatives Wanitzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate Joint House or Senate Joint Bill number 2. What we have going through the bill, first in Section A, is that the individuals shall have the right to maintain their children. We had a great discussion on that. When we get to number 2, then they may choose health care providers. When we get into C, it says the legislature may determine reasonable and necessary restrictions. But then my amendment comes into number 4, where it states that the state of Wyoming shall act to preserve these laws. And, or I'm not sorry, not these laws, but shall act to preserve these rights from undue government infringement. And as I read that, it seems to me like we're going to be suing ourselves in a lot of cases. What happens if we don't agree, or if we make a mistake, or if there is a little muddiness in the water that we have just determined? Do we come and sue ourselves? And at what point, if it is the federal government that's coming and murkying up our waters, do we take action against that? Maybe it's just trivial enough that we don't want to. So what my amendment, I believe, is trying to do is just give the executive branch the choice. I mean, does the legislature have the right to tell the executive branch that they have to sue? And I suppose that is down to the prime reason for my bill or for my amendment. So with that, I would stand for questions.
Representative Esquivel, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, on and for the amendment. And I just would like to wonder what the general public is going to think when they read this, because nowhere in here it says federal government. They're going to see governmental infringement, and they're going to think of us. To them, we're the government, and we must be a schizophrenic government, because I know last week we infringed on some of those fundamental rights to for people to make health care decisions. And, you know, it makes perfect sense, you know, for us to insert this type of language in here. And in three places, it says governmental infringement. That's the Wyoming state government. That's us.
Representative Yagi, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't really like this amendment. I think in Section A, talking about shall have the right, and then in Section B, talking about in Section C, talking about our health insurance that we can get, but then in Section D, it says the state of Wyoming shall preserve these rights. I think we're talking not against our state government. We're talking about the right to be able to purchase, be able to join, be able to get the health insurance that we so want. So I think by taking these shalls out of this one, it's in a different context of the maze in B and C. We do want the state government to stand up for our citizens, and the choice to get our right or our insurance is what we're talking about. And, of course, the overriding purpose, we all know, is just the ability to have not somebody, bigger government coming in and saying this is what you will do. So I want the state of Wyoming to stand up for my rights. So I'm thinking may, yeah, if you want to. I think it needs to be shall in both places, so I urge you to resist this. Thank you.
Representative Edmonds, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And, you know, I had a long conversation. We had a good conversation with the bringer of this amendment about some other issues in the bill, and I very much appreciate the heart of where he's going to this, but I have to stand and say that I stand against the amendment and for the bill for the same reasons that I just said earlier. I think we have a very good piece of legislation. And then, quite frankly, we take this before the voters should it pass this body, and we give them subsection A and B and C. We say, you know, do you agree with this? And if you do, then you have this right. And then we're somehow going to water down D and say, yeah, but we may actually believe that. Maybe we may actually stand up for you. Maybe we won't. We're not for sure. We may. I think we shall, shouldn't we? If the voters pass this and goes into the Wyoming Constitution, we will protect them. We shall protect them. It will be our duty and obligation to protect them. It is what they have chosen. It is the beautiful form of government we have. Why would we ever water this down and say, well, maybe we won't, maybe we will. We shall. We will. We'll have an obligation. The voters will say you shall. So I would ask you to think about that and to resist this amendment and to move the bill forward. Thank you.
First time Representative Wannister Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I understand that we've debated this and we're going to talk about this and we all understand what it says. But I guess my question is on the other part of the amendment, when it's on Section 2, on what we're putting out to the people of Wyoming for them to understand what they're about to vote on. And if they're about to vote to change their Constitution, in my mind, they better understand what they're about to vote on. So we basically say that the right to make health care decisions is reserved to the citizens of the state of Wyoming, and this state is going to preserve those rights from undue government infringement. But then we say the legislature to place reasonable and necessary restrictions on health care. And I mean, just the word restrictions in there, at the same time we're putting rights from undue governmental infringement. It seems to conflict to me, and I know we've had the speaker that told me this was crystal clear, and, you know, I keep reading this statute by section by section, and I mean, I still wonder what exactly it means and what we're doing. And I guess, I mean, in my mind, I know that we have another year to come back and work on these issues before it gets placed on the ballot in 2 years. And so, if we're not 100% comfortable with what it does, and I'm still working on being 100% comfortable changing my constitution in this state, we have a year to go back and really understand, because I haven't seen the information either be presented on what we're about to do to our constitution. And I don't know if next year we decide we don't like this, or if our good senator or representative in D.C., you know, change a little bit of the bill to where it might actually benefit Wyoming or take out the bad parts or help small businesses. Are we still going to be as excited about putting this in? So there's a lot of work that can still be done at the federal level before we put this in our constitution. But I'm thinking if I've been here, you know, and read this 8 times and have listened to the argument and I still can't quite understand 100% what it means, how is a member of the general public who reads this for 20 seconds in the ballot box and makes a check mark really understand what we're about to do here? So I would speak in favor of the amendment. Thanks.
First time, second time, prior to the sponsor, Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And to reiterate, in the ballot box, they're going to read Section C. I'm going to say the legislature. They're going to say the legislature. That's the government. You know, to me, having both those in there, it just makes us look, I don't know, I'd say kind of hypocritical.
Representative Edmonds, second time.
Just very quickly to respond to that, I think, you know, we know obviously that the best form of government is the government that's closest to the people. And what we are saying is that, as the entire nation has said and we saw in this last election cycle, we don't agree with the government from the highest possible level enforcing something so intimate as the choice, the health care decisions that we make for ourselves and for our children. And so the state of Wyoming, being much closer to the people, and certainly with all of the concerns and fears we have about other issues, does have certain small and narrow focused rights to go in and for the public health and general welfare of the people to do a few things that are reasonable, and I think we are very reasonable people. So, I think these are just muddying the water arguments, and I would ask you to resist this amendment and to vote this bill up or down in a clear form. Thank you.
Representative Wanser Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple of you may remember a couple of days ago when I suggested the argument of just totally getting rid of C and D and leaving A in place, where it says basically that each competent adult shall have the right to come up with their own freedom of choice on health care. Get rid of the government. What this bill is supposedly doing is taking it from one hand of government to the other hand of government. I assume this bill is saying get rid of the federal government because they don't know what they're doing in health care, but we in the state of Wyoming do know what we're doing in health care. So what this amendment is trying to do to say, what happens if we don't know what we're doing in health care? What about if the citizens do not agree with reasonable and competent and necessary restrictions in health care? Then are we suing ourselves? And that's the reason I'm asking for may and not shall. I am trying to clear up the waters, not muddy them. They seem terrifically muddy to me. So I would ask you to support the amendment and do whatever you need to do with the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 2 to Senate Joint Resolution 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate Joint Resolution 2 has failed. Senate Joint Resolution 2, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? This will require two-thirds vote of the majority of the members elected to the House. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly. Kraft, Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
no.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
no.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
no.
Simlek,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
no.
Ronish, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Swanitzer Dan, no to aye. Roscoe, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 49 aye, 11 no.
Senate Joint Resolution 2, having received the affirmative two-thirds vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Joint Resolution number 2 has passed the House. Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Body, I'd like to welcome 4 healthy young kids from Sublette County up in the west balcony on the northwest corner there. Well, I'm afraid there are 4 healthy young students up there, but I don't think they're from Sublette County. They look like they're all from the FFA, and so I'm sure they're great kids, and I had dinner with 2 of them last night. Any one of you from Sublette County?
Representative Campbell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
Privilege of the floor. Well,
the FFA students that are standing up, most of those are from Fremont County. If they'll stand up again as I from call your school, well, they're all standing up. And I would like to include all the adults that came with them, Jim and Mary Allen, Dar and Dave Vaughn, Thad and Audrey Dockery, and then there's a couple instructors there. So thank you for welcoming these kids.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, let the Park County folks stand up. Hey!
Have we missed any county? All right, we are at that order of business request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message we're going to consider is going to be message 243 on House Bill 109. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move for concurrence on House Bill 119. Make sure I got the right number here, 109, and ask for your no vote. 61st, we had a bill that we were charged with in the interim to look at funding for the Wyoming Infrastructure Authority, and we put in the legislation that we passed out of the House, a provision that described in some detail that the budget shall request funding only for certain purposes. When it got to the Senate, they amended that to insert new language that fundamentally says any appropriations to the authority shall be used only for financial support for purely administrative purposes. And I think it's important that this body understand their rationale for that. That is language out of the Witzenberger decision on what you can do and not do with funding from the state. And so I'd urge your no vote so that we can meet with them and get more clarification that we have at this time.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 109. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Flickery.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Botten.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown. Burkhart,
no.
Byrd,
no.
Campbell,
no.
Kennedy,
no.
Childers,
no.
Connolly,
no.
Kraft,
no.
Davison,
no.
Edmonds,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Greer,
no.
Green,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Illaway,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparik,
no.
Croker,
Crone, no.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Lubno,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
McComey,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Patton,
no.
Peasley,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Petroff,
no.
Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
no.
Simlick,
no.
Shepperson,
no.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Throne, Ronish,
no.
Wallace,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to change the vote, close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 no.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 109. The next message for our consideration is message 244. On House Bill 113, Chairman Lockhart and Chairman Simlett, could you come up, please?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move for concurrence of House Bill 113 and ask that you vote no. same argument, because these two bills were very similar, and the same reasons that we had for the appropriation in the first bill that we just discussed is in this one. They deleted that, and they put in the language that I discussed earlier. So I'd urge your no vote on House Bill 113 concurrence.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 113. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
No.
Flake.
No.
Flickery.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Botten.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Childers.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
No.
Greer.
No.
Green.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
No.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
No.
Miller.
Moniz,
no. Nicholas,
no.
Patton,
no.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Petroff,
no.
Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
no.
Simlick,
no.
Shepperson,
no.
Steward,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Throne,
no.
Braunisch,
no.
Wallace,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 no.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 113. The next message for our consideration is message 262 on House Bill 156. Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on House Bill 156 and ask for your favorable consideration. The other body had added some language in here with respect to tying the conveyance of the land to the agreement that the state has with the federal people, with the United States of America Grand Teton National Park. It tied that, I think that was appropriate. Maybe it didn't need to be said, but they did that. And it also included in Section 2 some of the discussion that we had on general file over here about leaving open the possibility that instead of the outright purchase of this property, that it could possibly be done through an acquisition of mineral rights, an increase in federal mint royalties, and I don't know how broad the interest in this body was of that, but some of us certainly believe that should be left open as a alternative plan of payment. So, Mr. Speaker and members of the House, I would ask for your aye vote.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 156. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo. Berger,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Flickery,
aye.
Bonner,
aye.
Botten,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
no.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer, Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
no.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen, Pedersen?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Petroff?
Aye.
Korberg?
No.
Roscoe?
No.
Simlick?
Aye.
Shepperson?
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunisch.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Roscoe, no to aye. Miller, aye to no. Madden, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 6 no.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 156. Joint Conference Committee for House Bills 109 and 113 will be Lockhart, Chairman Stubson, and Moniz. We're at that order of business. Bills on second reading, regular list. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 81.
Senate File 81, introduced by the Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects.
Senate File 81 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 94.
Senate File 94, introduced by Senator Johnson, an act relating to liability for emergency equipment donations.
Senate File 94 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 103.
Senate File 103, introduced by Senator Hines, an act relating to the Gillette-Madison Water Project financing.
Senate File 103 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 1.
House Bill 1, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act relating to supplemental appropriations for operation of general government.
Thank you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, just a few announcements with regard to our consideration of amendments on second reading. First of all, you'll note you'll have a green sheet in your basket. The amendments will not be considered in numerical order. Rather, they are considered by section. And would just remind you, if you refer to the joint rules on the budget that speaks about during committee of the whole, second reading or third reading, and since we're on second reading, each section of the bill or portion of a section, including any amendments to that section or portion of a section, shall be considered only once during that reading, even though that reading may be extended beyond one day. So in other words, if you're not successful on your first run through here on your amendment, you don't get to go back and throw another amendment out on the same section that we already passed to try it again. Make sense? The other thing is with regard to these amendments, when we take a voice vote, and if the ayes prevail on that voice vote, then the ayes and noes, and it'll be a standing division, will be taken on any motion to adopt any amendment which directly increases or decreases in appropriation by specific dollar amount. Is that clear? Any questions? The first amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 18 to House Bill 1, Chairman Simlek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 18 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. This amendment provides an appropriation of $50,000 to the State Land Investment Board to provide funding for a perimeter fence around a piece of property called the Ranch A. Ranch A is one of, I believe, three different state-acquired properties in the state. I want to make that differentiation between state-acquired properties and state trust lands. They're completely different.
And I guess I'd go on to say that the state-acquired properties have been in some ways kind of a stepchild to the trust lands because it seems more difficult to get funding for them. The perimeter fence on the Ranch A is about 4.6 miles, and there are several neighbors that they share that fence line with. So the language in the amendment suggests that the expenditures for this purpose will be made only if one half of the cost of the fence is borne by owners of adjacent lands. That is the respectfully kind of the code of the West that neighbors need to be responsible for one half of their fence. So this amendment provides that the state, through the state land office, will pay for one half of the fence and that the neighbors will pay half the fence. No funds will be expended unless the owners of the adjacent lands do what they are asked to do in this amendment. And it gives them 3 years before the money will revert in 2014. My final comment with respect to this amendment is the Ranch A property is being managed by a foundation, and I've been to several of their meetings. I've heard their treasurer's report, and they work on a very marginal budget. This property was acquired from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I'm not sure I can say that, but I just did. And there were some real deed restrictions on this property. The activities that they can hold down there are only for educational purposes. It's a beautiful location. There's an opportunity to do a lot of great fundraising events down there, but they're limited just to educational activities. So they have a very small budget as a result of that. They don't have the funds to do this, and I'm just asking that we would consider as a body to do kind of good neighbor policy. If we're going to acquire state property in this way, then we need to be good neighbors to the people that we neighbor and help provide for the fencing. So I'd ask you favorable consideration.
Representative Pedersen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to talk a little bit about this and see how this tracks in. And what you'll notice is that it reinserts a lot of this information up here on the above the numbers of what the original budget was on this piece. And I think that the important piece of this is that's down in number two there is of this general fund appropriation. This does not represent an increase. It's of the funds that were previously appropriated. And it also has a local buy-in of having the local spend at least raising one half of the total cost for this. And that's an important piece to look at. So this is a look.
Anyone else on this amendment for the first time? Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, we're all, of course, duly elected. You can do what you think. But here's $50,000 in general fund money. And if you don't think the $17.2 million or whatever those things are in there, there's this pretty large budget. I don't know. If you think there's not enough money in there that state lands and investments could do this out of their existing budget, feel free to add that too. But there's a lot of priorities that are ahead of us in the next, 40 amendments. And so just weigh that. I think we can do probably about anything we want, but I'm not sure we can do everything. And I hate to speak against the good chairman of Ag, but I urge caution on the First Amendment out of the chute. Thank you.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also go along with our good football coach. We are starting a supplemental budget, and we're supposed to be dealing with non-emergency needs. And as I look through all these amendments that we have, there are not many emergency needs. So what we're doing is we're just starting a new budget process. And so we have a biennial budget, then we have a regular budget, and then we'll have a biennial budget. And I'm not sure, talking to the guys upstairs about finances, we're financing right now with, well, our total budget hopes that gas will get at the $5 per MCF. Right now it's 3.9 per MCF. So we're really hoping that everything works out and this budget will be able to be funded. The more I talk to the guys upstairs in the finance office, the more scared, cautious I think we need to be with a lot of add-ons that we're going to be talking about in all about 40 of these amendments. So I'm wondering if we need to be cautious on not only this one, but a lot of them that are coming. Thank you.
And Representative Throne, and could I call on a member of Appropriations to discuss whether or not this is an increase or decrease? It looked initially like it was not, but it looks now like it is. So, Representative Pedersen.
Mr. Chairman, I, when this original piece, when I was looking up here that misspoke, if you look there on line 19, line 20, it will straighten this out. It's actually a net increase of $50,000. You look at the totals there, $29,553,860 is stricken with this amendment, and then inserted on line 20 is $29,603,860. So it's a net increase of $50,000. Sorry for misspeaking.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, the Code of the West that we adopted applies to us, too. And if we are landowners and we do not have good fences, then we are being very bad neighbors. You know, we are not doing our share to pay for half of the fence. That is just basic culture that I grew up with and that I'm still obligated to follow as a landowner in the northeast part of the state. I guess I would also ask the good bringer of this amendment. I'm guessing the fence is, given the weather we've had in that part of the state for this winter and the last winter, are in pretty darn bad shape. If we're going to acquire these properties, we have to follow the rules. And the rules are you take care of your fences. Thank you.
First time, Representative Peasley.
I can't hear very well. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think if you all listen to the representative from District 18, as usual, he hit the nail with his head, and I think we have to keep that in mind as we go through this entire budget. As you'll see as you go through the budget, everything that I requested in the way of budgetary items, I have agreed to have deleted. And I hope all of you will follow that pattern as we go through. We've got to learn to live within our means. And so I think the rule of the day should be, when in doubt, don't. Thank you.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, in the interest of saving time, I'm going to say this once. There's probably about 30 amendments in here asking for more money. I think that we have a very clear budgetary process, and then we have a supplementary budget that has a chance to have appropriations added on it throughout the year. And now we're adding more amendments for more spending increases. I think it's appropriate to kind of slow down and look at them. And if it's a good idea, we can bring it through a bill or bring it the next budget session. So rather than me standing up and speaking against 30 different amendments, just every time there's an increased amendment, just in your heads, picture me speaking against it again, and it will save a little bit of time.
First time prior to response, Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I think the representative from District 11 pretty well laid it out. We own the property, needs to fix the fence, vote aye.
Anyone else for their first time, second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Simlek.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. My preference would be for the state not to acquire property. My second preference would be, if the state did require property, that they'd be responsible for it by providing the appropriation through the Office of State Lands. I tell you, upon several meetings with this department, the foundation and the local legislators have been pretty frustrated that they say, well, that should be an initiative that should come from a local legislator if you want additional funding for this. This is much different than the trust lands. We have a $2.1 million trust enhancement account that takes care of all the needs for our trust land. We've got these three parcels sitting out here, and I tell you, they're stepchild. And the way for us to be responsible up there, because there are livestock grazing on both sides of this property, for us to be responsible up there and to do it expediently, this would be the way that I would suggest that we deal with this problem and provide the relatively small amount of funding to accomplish this work. The case, I can tell you for sure, by the time we get done with this winter and the spring, the fences that were in relatively poor shape up there will absolutely be on the ground. And the foundation needs some help to get this work done. And I would just ask that we be mindful of what our responsibility is. If we acquire land in this state, we need to be responsible and take care of it. If we're not able to do that through the department, well, then this seems to be our only choice. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 18 to House Bill 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Well, we'd probably do a division anyway, so all those in favor stand and we'll get it all done at once. The amendment is adopted. Pursuant to Rule 9-3B, the Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo. Berger,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Flickery,
aye.
Bonner,
aye.
Botten,
no.
Brechtel,
no.
Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
no.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
no.
Eklund, Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Green,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt, Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparic,
no.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
no.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas, Patton, Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
no.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Braunisch,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Swanitzer Dave?
No.
Mr. Speaker?
Aye.
Hunt?
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Nicholas? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 36 aye, 24 no.
Second reading, amendment number 18 to House Bill 1 has been adopted. We're on second reading, amendment number 21 to House Bill 1. Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 21 to House Bill number 1, and I ask for your favorable consideration. This was a question that I raised yesterday. And if you'll go to your the cheat sheet that the good chairman of appropriations handed out, basically it's deleting the section for the Secretary of State's office. It's deleting the $20,000 for the printing of the directories. And I guess this is just the beginning of, you know, I think a very small haircut. I do believe that they have the flex authority to get those printed. I'm sure that they can charge for them and recover their $20,000. But I just encourage the body to accept this amendment, and I have every confidence that the Secretary of State's office can find the $20,000 to get these printed. They can, I believe they can sell them, unless I'm wrong. They can charge for them and recover their $20,000. So I'm on it in favor of the amendment.
Then Wallace or someone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge you to resist this amendment. And here's why. You know, we, as a legislative body, for several different reasons, in several different similar circumstances, decide that we need to spend the money to provide things like printing the Constitution so that it's available to all of our citizens. And we also, you know, I look at this in the same light. We have just had a change of administration, with many positions changing, many offices changing, agencies being combined. And, you know, not every one of our citizens has a computer, ready access to the Internet. And it just seems to me like this is kind of a special circumstance where $20,000 is a small price to pay to have these updated, available books in libraries and classrooms and concerned citizens at their beck and call. And we did prevent the department from doing that every year because we thought that that was, but this is kind of a special circumstance that we really didn't foresee. Because we didn't know, you know, who would be governor or how big those changes would be. I just think this is an appropriate amount of money to spend, small amount of money for a good cause to keep our citizens informed and able to participate in government.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, just to put it in perspective, my understanding is they have a budget of $7 million. This represents less than one-third of 1% of their budget. They can find that money to do it without having an additional appropriation.
Anyone else for their first time? First time, Representative Mr. Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'd just like to make a point here. We ask our agency heads to prepare budgets. And then we send them down to the Appropriations Committee, and we've all heard the stories. And they go down there, and they get drugged through one knothole after another. And that budget, as we've asked that committee to do, that budget is scrutinized line by line, dollar by dollar, item by item. And we pare it down, and we pare it down through the appropriations process to only the money they need. And then we come along with some program like this and say, well, there must be $20,000 in there somewhere, so we don't need the extra money. Well, if our Appropriations Committee has done the job the way we ask them to do it, there is not $20,000 somewhere. Every dollar that's left in that budget is allocated to a specific item. And that's what I call earmarking. When you come in with a requirement and start reallocating the budget that that agency had is put together. So the question is this. Do you think the Appropriations Committee did its job or not? If it did, then every dime that's in that budget is allocated to a specific line item for a specific purpose. And if you're going to add a line item, it's only fair to add the money. If you're not doing that, then you've asked an agency head to prepare a budget, get drugged through one knothole after another in the appropriations process, come in here, and we still say, your budget's not right. We're going to rebuild your budget for you and reallocate the money within it. And that is not fair. And so I think if there's something like this that needs to be done, I don't think it's a fair statement to say after that entire process took place, there's $20,000 in here somewhere they can do it with. There may be, but if our Appropriations Committee's done its job, that $20,000 is going to be at the expense of some other line item that was already approved by appropriations that the agency head said he needed to have funded, and they agreed.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to push back very gently, I think the appropriations, we do our job. However, and because we do our job, we also know that the agencies do have some authority. Last year, for example, the governor was able to bring together $15 million from all of the different departments to deal with flooding across the state. There are certainly dollars that are flexible within agencies, and every single dollar down to the penny is not lock solid, locked into things. They do have that flexibility, and we are still doing our job. So I would push back on those statements. Thank you.
President Peasley.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, thank you. For those of you that have an intricate knowledge of how this budget process works, perhaps I'm speaking out of school, but speaking for myself, I'm clueless. About all I know is that we continue to run over, we continue to spend money. I've looked at all the comparisons over the years. I don't know quite where to cut back, but I tell you what, just to say that we trust everybody to do it right and we want to keep doing it the way we have isn't enough for me. I think there are big boys and big girls that run our state agencies, and if we send a message that we've got to start wheeling back and they've got to start finding other ways to do it, I for one do not think that internally we're getting enough done, and I, on the other hand, do not have a clue as to how to slow it down other than to not feed the monkey. You just don't give the beast the money, and after a while it works. After a while, they learn to live on that. So I'm not speaking specifically to this, but I want you to know, like the good representative from across the way from District 35 said, just imagine me up here every time. I want us all to take that into account, because someday we're going to run out of the other people's money we spend down here. And let's just get used to this, and let's figure out a way to tighten it. And maybe the way to tighten it is when they come back and say we need another 1/3 of 1% money to make this project work, maybe they can put off the computers for another year or stop buying the high-grade paper. I think this is the only way we can fight back, and I think somehow or another this body has got to learn how to fight back. And this is the only way I know so far, and so until I'm taught another way, I'm going to continue to resist the spending. Thank you.
Tim Lockhart, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The good chairman from House District 14 made an argument that, at least as I took it, meant we shouldn't consider all of these things because appropriations done that. That's the business that we're in, is to reflect on what we get out of the budget for clarity and insurance. Now, I do have an objection to a $20,000 item being in a supplemental budget for these reasons. One, it took a lot of time to have somebody go through all of that process, and in a multi-million dollar budget, they should have been able to find it. It shouldn't have taken Appropriations Committee time, shouldn't have taken the department's time, and it shouldn't be taking our time here. But to suggest that because they are vetted, they are run through the ringer, I think was the word, by the appropriation, doesn't mean that we shouldn't consider it. So I urge your support for the proposed amendment.
Representative Harshman, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I think you want to pick which hill you want to die on, I think, and I'm not sure this is the one that I'm particularly going to die on, but I comments from the good representative from House District 3 and really wanting to fight back. I tell you, if you want to cut money in the budget, it is simply you can do a quick percentage cut across the board. I mean, that's the easiest, fastest, simply probably the fairest way to do it, because then you put it on agency heads to really go in and determine, prioritize, because none of us know that. None of us as a citizen legislature know that. I mean, and that's what we did a few years ago. We did a 10% cut, saved $1 billion. Not one person lost their job, and every employee got a 4% pay raise. So we're not in dire straits. So I don't want folks to think sitting here we're balancing every nickel on 20,000. And I think to compare us to 10 years ago when we were waiting for an inheritance tax to balance a budget is not accurate either. A lot of the things we've done in the last four or five biennium, number one, we've done a ton of capital construction. We've rebuilt our highways, our universities, our schools, our cities, towns, and counties. Secondly, we have saved a pile of money. We've doubled the permanent mineral trust fund in just the last few years, the last three biennia. That's something to be proud of. So all that looks like budget increases, but keep in mind a lot of this is one time, and a lot of it is savings. So, but if you're really interested in going after, we've done it before. We've done 10% cuts. Then bring that in an amendment. But I think, you know, 20,000 in the grand scheme of things, I think the idea behind the Appropriations Committee why we looked at this is because we had a change in administration. I think the representative from House District 52 talked about this. Update the books. My book's at home. That's the one you use to get a hold of anybody. You thumb through it, you find the agency, and you call them. And so I think it's a valuable resource. If you think it's not, then, you know, vote it down. But really, I mean, if you want to get to the meat of this thing, there's other ways to do it. Thank you,
Mr. Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, we do these things all the time. And looking at the amendments, the second part and the third part, $10,000 for free distribution of the Constitution. We're always saying citizens need to get involved. That's one way. Item three, $20,000 for the state directory. I'm going to be asking them for another state directory because, as I said yesterday, half of mine was eaten by my dog. So, in other words, you're going to need another one. Plus, the state directory should be distributed because the people that need to contact these various agencies and local government people, that directory is a lot of help. I use mine very frequently. So I'm on and against the amendment.
At the present rate, we'll be here for 6.5 hours, I've calculated. Representative Brownish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can't believe we're spending this much time on $20,000. In my 16 years on the city council, mayor's secretary had at her desk the state directory, and that was such a valuable resource. And it's really important, and it's handy. I can get on a computer, but, you know, I don't like reading books. I'd rather have pages in my hand. So just real briefly, I'd ask you to defeat this amendment, and let's get move on to something that's important. Thank you.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At the risk of getting tomatoes thrown at me, we've all of a sudden developed into a philosophy. We're being very philosophical here. Folks, remember, we have 10 standing committees. The Appropriations Committee is one of ours, and they do a wonderful job. We're all sent down here by our constituents to represent them. And this debate here should be no different than debate on any bill that's come out of any standing committee that we've had. But let's not continue to talk about this. We all have the right to talk about the budget and what's in the budget. And the good coach made some very, very good points. And I stand against the amendment because I think these things, especially with the new administration, are very valuable. And I have trust our Appropriations Committee to have looked at that budget and said we should give them the money to do this. On and against the amendment.
Chairman Corbett.
Oh, would she be last?
I apologize. You have the amendment. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to defend the agency where this funding would be directed and let you know that in the previous biennium, we told them not to print the directory as a body. In our JAC meeting, it was one of our JAC members that said, based on new administration, new director heads, et cetera, that it would be important to have a new directory. That's how this happened. So it's not an agency request. It comes from the JAC membership. Thank you.
Anyone else for their, I think we're still on the first time. Second time. Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, please don't read me wrong. If you don't want to feed the monkey, don't feed the monkey. If you don't want a state directory, don't vote for the money. Don't complain when you don't get a state directory. That's all I'm saying. Do you want to buy it and pay for it? But don't buy it and not pay for it until the director, or the, in this case, the Secretary of State, you got to go reallocate your budget after it was all approved, framed up and approved by the Appropriations Committee. Vote whichever way you want to. But I just don't like this idea of saying, well, there's $20,000 in their budget somewhere that they can reallocate to this. There's not, if our process works correctly. So vote whichever way you want to. But if you vote against it, don't expect to receive a new state directory. On and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Korberg.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can hardly wait till we try to trim more than $20,000 out of the good Appropriations Committee supplemental budget. I just want to remind this body, and I was going to bring this up, and I do thank the good chairman of Appropriations for bringing it up. This was not an agency request. It was not. It's not something they came and asked for. This came by an individual member of Appropriations Committee. And I do believe, I do take issue with the fact that they have no latitude in their budget. That just simply is not the case. A budget is simply that. It's a number, a number in which they work. They can go up or down. They have flex authority. Now, I want a hard copy of the budget as much as the next guy, but I'm willing to pay for mine. And that's what this is really all about. They can get the budget printed, they can get the directory printed, and then we can pay for our copy of the directory, and they will be at a zero net loss in their budget. So I'm on and in favor of this amendment, and I encourage the body to vote for it. Thank you.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 21 to House Bill 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed,
no.
The amendment has failed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At 3 amendments per hour with 40 amendments, you can do the math on how long we're going to be here. Or you could look at it this way. We've spent 40 minutes on $70,000 of a $7 billion budget. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House stand in recess until 1:30 p.m.
Before we vote on that motion, any other announcements? Chairman Illoway.
Committee announcements. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet immediately upon adjournment today in room House 18, and we're going to consider Senate File 150 engrossed notaries.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 6, Travel, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in room H10, where we will consider the following bills. Senate File 709, engrossed, State Parks, Temporary Peace Officers, and Joint Resolution 1, Right to Hunt, Fish, and Trap. And Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker, I certainly hope we get done we move along a lot faster, so we're not going to be wasting time in committee trying to get these bills out because we won't have time to do them on the floor.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in room H18 to consider Senate File 105, State Control of Certain Land, and if there's time available, we'll be discussing interim topics for the upcoming year.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation and Military Affairs, will meet today, 10 minutes after adjournment this afternoon in room H17. We will consider Senate File 112, Engrossed National Guard Billeted Soldiers Fund, and Senate File 131, Military Department Federally Funded Positions.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, will not meet tomorrow.
Chairman Harvey.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet Wednesday upon 15 minutes upon adjournment in room H-17 to discuss the following bills. Senate File 93, Dietetic Licensure, Senate File 37, Health Insurance Definitions, Senate File 29, Developmental Disability Services, Senate File 145, Medicaid Fraud Recovery.
You heard the previous motion made by the good majority floor leader to recess until 1:30 p.m. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House stand in recess until 1:30 p.m.